Good morning, everybody. Dr. Gabriel Jasper, MD, interventional pain physician with Jeremy, the head of the game over here, running the show.
What's up, guys?
All right. So interventional pain, that's me. And I've been doing it for probably 27 years or more. Mm-hmm. You know, I started learning in 1996. No, actually started learning it in 1993 when I started my anesthesia residency. But that was when the days where we didn't know much, but I could just foresee that the future was going to be great in interventional pain. It's starting to do that now, where it's taking over how to get rid of people's pain, anywhere from arthritic pain, early onset of arthritic pain, regenerative type medicine, to major spine surgery, converting it into minimally invasive spine surgeries. And don't get me wrong, when you need major spine surgery, I'll be the first one to admit it. But there are ways today to avoid major spine surgery. And that's my theme. Most of the time when I talk on these podcasts or when I talk to my patients or when I talk to anybody about interventional pain and what it's all about, it's about getting things done, getting rid of the pain generator with the least amount of effort, the safest, the fastest, and the most efficient way of doing it. Because this is the modern times here. There's no reason to do antiquated surgeries.
Right.
And there are a lot of doctors out there doing antiquated surgeries unnecessarily. Now, you guys out there that do these procedures, you can get pissed off at me if you want, but it is what it is. And you need to stop doing that.
Yeah,
you're ruining patients' lives. No matter how much you're brainwashed into doing these major unnecessary surgeries, stop it.
Yeah,
because it's bad. And then when they're no good anymore, the patients are suffering, and you know who you are out there. Yeah. The patients that are suffering from these major spine surgeries, and then they come to me. The surgeons send you to the pain doctors. By then, most of the time, it's too late. I mean, we can fix you to a certain point.
Yeah.
But when the back is destroyed with scar tissue and nuts and screws and bolts, it's not easy. We could usually make it feel better in certain ways. Besides the fact that I don't prescribe narcotics. So I'm not going to do it with narcotics, not in my practice. We're going to do it by trying to get rid of the pain generators. And it's so hard to do it once the back has been destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, we put spinal cord stimulators in, which is actually, you know, probably the only method that we can get rid of some of this pain, but it's not 100%.
And you go, I mean, when you go in, it's a completely different landscape than, you know, because of the prior operations that have changed the biology.
You know, even to do, minimally invasive surgery, the anatomy is distorted. It's all deformed at this point.
But
like I said, spinal cord stimulators, that's the way to go a lot of times when you have failed back syndrome. Mm. It's actually a code. It's called failed back syndrome. And when you got failed back syndrome, that's one of the indications to have, failed back syndrome with severe pain that nothing else works. So what we do is we put these electrodes into the epidural space and we put it into what we call a sweet spot in the spine, and we do a trial, right? And when we do the trial for like a couple days, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 days, and we keep it in the right spot, we put it in a sweet spot, and you go home with complete access to the rep who knows the system and can give you many, many different programs to program it so that it can get rid of your pain. It can get you rid of your pain completely, or it could turn into a warm tingling sensation depending on where the pain is and what severity of the pain.
Hmm. So there's like a level of tech support when they in there.
You know, as soon as I have a patient that I think needs it, I put them in contact or put the rep in contact with the patient.
That's cool.
They know a lot more about the technical programming than I do.
Right.
I know the basics behind it, and I know how to put it in, and I know when you need it and when you don't need it. there's a lot of doctors out there putting it in unnecessarily because it's a good paying procedure. You know, the hospital gets paid a lot of money, surgery centers and the doctors get paid a lot of money to put it in. So we got to be careful about dishonest doctors and people, yeah, because overall the doctors, not to be negative today about negative stuff, but in order to talk about the good stuff, you got to talk a little bit about the negative.
Get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah. In other words, I'd say 99% of the doctors are very, very honest. Well, we take an oath.
Yeah.
And we all take the oath seriously, except a very small percentage. Mm. And these are the people that are sociopaths. And you have them in all walks of life, all kinds of people. You got your sociopaths that don't care. What they call a sociopath because they honestly think that they might be doing something good, right, or not wrong. Mm. You know, and it's amazing that these people are out there. But they get caught. You know, people get fined. They take, doctors get fined. Medicare, insurance companies take money back after they've already given you the money, even if you do everything right.
Right.
So can you imagine you do something wrong? You're going to get caught. There's no reason to even attempt doing that. I mean, how do you sleep at night?
Right. I mean, they would actually literally be hypocrites.
Yeah, because they don't listen to the hypocritical
oath. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The hypocritical oath. They listen to the hypocritical oath. You know? But there's so many of them out. I know a guy that, I'm not going to mention any names. He's a doctor, was with a group of doctors. Right. And they were working out of Delaware, I think, somewhere out of state, and they had an office also and surgery center in New Jersey. And New Jersey gets paid, I guess, a lot more money because of site of service compared to wherever they were. I'm not sure where they were, but they were out of state where they might have get paid, you know, 2/3 of what they get paid here. But these guys were actually doing procedures in another state and billing it as if it was done in New Jersey. Like, what are you thinking? You think that's not going to, you know, with the computer system and insurance fraud, and they actually have agents that they hire, like FBI agents, you know, narcotic detectives, you know, just to say that they have people that they pay big money to find you.
Right.
You think they're not going to find you? It's very easy to find you.
Yeah.
And they got caught. They all went to jail. And one guy got so upset, he killed himself.
Oh.
You know, I mean, you know, family and everything. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, I was raised to be honest. My nose itches. I'm sorry. I was raised to be honest. And I guess in deep down inside, I am an honest person. I would never think about doing things like that. You know, the old days when everybody was rebels in the 70s, steal from the government. It's good.
Yeah.
So you even had honest people doing that stuff. But today it's different. You know, when hopefully we're less rebellious when it comes to that.
Phil was big on honesty.
Who's that?
Your dad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way he raised us. Yeah. You know, he had the opportunity to make big money. They all chipped in for a hospital up in North Jersey, and they were building a hospital. And at one of the meetings, one of the head guys that were in charge of organizing it said that this is how we're going to do it. We're all going to send each other cases, and we're going to send it through the main office here,
yeah,
and the main office will take a percentage of what you make, but we'll send you patients. My father was like, "Well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's anti-kickback." Even in those days, you're talking more than 50 years ago.
Right,
they had anti-kickback law. You know, it's not like that in law. You know, lawyers could send you a patient and do stuff and get kicked back. That's legal there. But in medicine, it's against the law. And they were like, well, this is how we're going to do it. And my father said, give me the money back.
Yeah.
And they gave him the money back because they didn't want to deal with him either because he was honest.
Right, right.
And he wanted to go along with the game. And guess what? They all got arrested. I think most of them lost their licenses. Yeah. The hospital's still there, though. It's probably changed hands about 5 times since then. I'm not mentioning any names in the hospital either.
Right, right.
But, you know, let's talk about a little bit of what we do. Well,
before we go into that, we got Connie here, and she says, good morning. She says, can you treat shoulders?
Yeah, I could treat shoulders. I don't actually operate on shoulders. But we treat shoulders by, number one, trying to see what's wrong with it. Do a complete physical examination. Do a history on your pain. During the examination, I can pretty much suspect any type of specific pain generator. For example, you know, arthritis. It could be arthritis in your glomerulohumeral joint or AC joint. It could be something that, based on your physical examination, it could be a rotator cuff. And rotator cuffs are made up of quite a few different muscles. So first thing we do is we do an x-ray. And the majority of people have arthritis. And depending on the severity of arthritis, we can start with basic, you know, steroid injections, anti-inflammatory steroid injections, which will get rid of a lot of the pain. But I have arthritis in my shoulder, and I don't give myself steroid injections anymore because of the fact that the evolution of regenerative medicine, where we have, you could take some of your plasma and turn it into plasma rich platelets. And we had a gentleman here the other day who brought a new type of plasma rich platelets, but with it's processed in a way where all the good stuff in the platelets are released before it's actually given to you. Yeah. And it does its job, which means it regenerates to a certain extent. It regenerates protein, cartilage, you know, meniscal tears. The way it does that, it calls upon your own growth hormone, the growth factors, and stem cells in the body, which come in and regenerate it. Now, I always tell people, it's not like cutting off a tail on a lizard and the tail grows. It's not, you know, metamorphosis, but it regenerates it.
Right.
And it's not when I'm saying metamorphosis, you're not going to stick the needle in and 3 months later, it looks like it did when you were 20 years old without an injury.
Yeah.
But it's what it does technically is it regenerates. And there are studies that show that it actually looks better. The cartilage, the joint, and everything looks better.
Yeah.
But I don't like to give anybody any false sense of securities. And you know, I've been doing it to myself for a long time. And you know, I still got a bad joint. Right. But the difference is, the major difference that I see between that and steroid injections are catabolic steroids. They break down protein. And they also cause blood sugar levels to go up, and that's another story. But regenerative, for example, stem cells, stem cell derivatives, things that produce stem cells in your body, they are regenerative, so they produce protein. So they're anabolic in protein buildup. So the point is, it's going to at least slow down the consequence of a progressive degenerative joint disease. It's going to slow it down tremendously. And it depends how bad it is. I mean, if you got bone on bone and nothing there to work with, I don't care what you put in there. It's time for a new shoulder.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yes, I do. I do many, many procedures to injections. I don't operate on shoulders, but I can sure as hell make a diagnosis on what's wrong with it. And I'll tell you when you actually need a surgeon.
Yeah.
And another thing about shoulders, so shoulder injections, finger injections, knee injections, hip injections, torn ligaments, tendons, rotator cuffs. It's all done with indirect visualization, for example, x-rays and ultrasound. So when I do an injection, as any interventional pain doctor should, or any orthopedic doctor should do, is inject something in your body with something that's going to facilitate putting the injection in the right spot.
Right.
The days of injecting blindly are over.
Yeah.
So if anybody sticks a needle and you say, I got it in the joint, you know what? They've done tests. They've taken 100 people. This is a generic test. They've taken 100 doctors that inject blindly, and they make them put a little dye in it, and they do an x-ray at the same time as putting a dye, and you can see if it's in the right spot, right? 30% of them missed. So that's actually not bad. 66% of them are, get it in, you know, so 30%.
I was actually telling a patient about that, the other Wednesday when we were in the office.
What about the injections?
the you know, direct visualization that you use, and that's the difference between like it, you know, getting over here and it getting where it needs to be, you know.
Yeah, direct visualization, you're actually looking like endoscopically.
Yeah,
there's different forms of direct visualization. It's open, where you could make the decision you're looking. That's direct visualization.
Mm.
Another under the definition of direct visualization is if somebody opens and they got the a microscope and they're looking in a microscope, direct visualization. Also, if you got those loops, you know, they got the glasses, they call them loops, and they got these little magnifying things on it. Those are loops. That's direct visualization. And the last to add it to the direct visualization definition list is endoscopic surgery, because it's an extension of your eye. You know, it's a scope that you're looking at on a monitor or a TV screen, high definition TV screen. You see everything. And the difference is, compared to all the rest, it's magnified. So you have an area this big, which blows up to this big. Nothing gets better than that.
Right.
You know, when I do my endoscopic surgeries and spine surgeons come in, I always see it either through magnifying glass, loops, microscope, or open. I mean, they're standing up and they're looking this far away into a hole this big sometimes, right? A hole this big. I mean, what can you possibly, you could see, you get used to it.
It's looking down the
street. There's blood in there, somebody's suctioning it. Right. I mean, listen, a good surgeon has no problem with the experience. But when they see the picture that you get endoscopically, it's like you're looking into a perfectly clear, crystal clear fish tank.
Right.
You got fluid and you see all the structures 30, 40 times bigger than they normally are. I mean, how could you beat that?
Right.
And that's the way you got to do it today. Not everything can be done endoscopically. A lot of stuff needs to be done open. You know, big surgeries need to be open. You know, they need to move stuff around.
Right.
You know, and fuse stuff, you know, that needs to be open. And you need a good surgeon for that, a good orthopedic or neural spine surgeon for that. You're not going to catch me doing any of that stuff.
No.
I do the mix. I stick with the minimally invasive stuff.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I was just going to say that. A man's got to know his limitations, right? That's whose quote is that?
Dirty Harry's.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
I just watched that the other day.
A man's got to know his limits.
Magnum Force. That was.
That was a quote from Magnum Force?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like to say it because some people are new. What do? When I say interventional pain, I do the basic stuff that most pain doctors do. What are you laughing about?
Somebody said something? Just thinking about Dirty Harry.
Oh. Yeah. I do the basic stuff like epidural injections. You know, of course, a lot of pain docs don't do intra-articular injections, but I do that, and that's basic. I've been doing it for 100 years. I also do what they call ablation of the medial branch nerves for arthritis. So to make it simple, you have arthritis at the neck or the back. I could ablate the nerve, which means I could burn the nerve at 80 degrees Celsius for 90 seconds, and the nerve stops working, and you don't feel the pain coming from the joints. That's been a successful procedure for more than 20 years.
I'm in the process of getting it.
Are you really?
Yeah. So
who's going to do it?
I'm getting my first medial branch block. You are.
Oh, me? Oh, good.
The 14th.
14th?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Would you have to make an appointment or something?
Yeah, I made an appointment, you know, and I, you know.
But you chose the 14th.
I chose the 14th. Well, they said it would be better.
All right, good.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what else do I do? I do interlaminar epidurals.
Yeah.
I do transforaminal epidurals. I do caudal epidurals. But in my history, in my experience, I think the transforaminal epidurals work the best. Anatomically, I can explain it, but at this level, probably nobody's going to explain it, understand it. It's, you know, when you want to technically talk about why, you talk about this at conferences with other doctors. But the transforaminals usually do the best. And what's also good about the transferamble epidural, which is an epidural that's injected around the exiting nerve root, the nerve that actually comes out that causes sciatica pain. Mm. You know, you got pain shooting down a leg. It's because you got a pinched nerve that's causing, that goes down to the leg. Right? People say sometimes, can you chop my leg off? No, because if you got a pinched nerve, it goes down to the leg, you chop your leg off. Now you got no leg with pain still going down to the toe, which is not there.
Right.
It's hard for people to understand.
Like ghost pain, right?
It's not pain in the leg. It's pain coming out of this nerve sticking, coming out of the, this nerve, where is it? Like this nerve coming right out of the spine, you know, it pinches that nerve. Now, if you got a herniated disc right at that nerve, another beautiful thing that I teach orthopedic and neural spine surgeons how to do, because if they want to do what I do, that's okay. I don't care about competitions. I care about the care of the patient.
Right.
And if they don't know, you got a herniated disc here, herniated disc in three levels. But majority of the time, it's not, the pain isn't coming from all three levels. In my experience, it's usually coming from one level. Right. It could be, you know, 33% of the pain coming from each level. However, or it could be coming from two levels. But most of the time, it's really coming from one level. And you, based on where the symptoms are going down your leg, let's say, you know, if it's in a groin, it might be a 2-3. If it goes down to the knee, it's a 3-4. If it goes down to the calf, it's a 4-5. If it goes all the way down into your feet, then it could be a 5-S1. So you make a judgment call. Let's say this is 3-4, and you got three herniated discs, one at 2-3, 3-4, and 4-5, and it only goes down to your knee. Chances are it's 3-4, but how do you, we're not all clones. Not everybody has those nerves coming out of that level. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But that's just the average. So how are you sure about this? You block that nerve. Do a selected nerve root block, like a transferamble stick. You numb that nerve. Patient has 100% pain before you numb the nerve. After you numb the nerve, it's 100% gone. Then you know it's that nerve. At least majority of the pain is coming from that nerve. Yeah. This is what I teach surgeons. And guess what? By doing that, there's less big surgeries. They'll choose to maybe do a microdiscectomy or remove that particular hernia and get it off of the nerve instead of doing a three-level fusion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, they get isolated. This is, I think, should be taught in the fellowship training of a neuro-orthopedic spine surgeon.
Like, you know, these pain management doctors, right? Who are doing like series of three shots and back to physical therapy? I mean, isn't that the shots that they're giving the people are the same thing, right?
I would say, and this is my opinion, when you hear a series of three epidurals, yeah, they're usually not even given transferamblers; they're given intralaminars or caudals.
Right.
Okay. Caudals are quick, fast, easy, and they don't work most of the time.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's one of the huge differences, because it's for you. It's not just you know, giving your patient some relief, but it's also a diagnostic tool that's letting you know exactly where you're going to be going from here.
Yeah. But believe it or not, 80% of the people you have to do is work.
Right. Right.
Done. You know, they might need another one years down the road.
Yeah.
6 months down the road. If you get one epidural every 6 months, that's the way I would go, yeah, instead of any kind of procedure, even if it's a minimally invasive procedure. It's not going to hurt you by getting one epidural a year or two a year. Not going to hurt you. You got people that are on chronic steroid for lupus, some kind of autoimmune disease, severe arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis. Mm. There's a whole list of reasons. These people are on it every day. These are the people who are going to have complications from steroids, not with a couple epidurals a year. You know,
Felix says, "Good morning, y'all."
Good morning, Felix. Thanks for help. Thanks for joining us this morning.
I was watching him cooking the other day on Facebook. He was dancing around while he's cooking.
Well, he's got a pretty good shot. Now he's got what is it called, Felix, that you do? Is that on Instagram?
Yeah. He's got Instagram.
He's got an Instagram with a lot of followers.
Yeah.
Felix cooking.
Felix is entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, just all you got to do is press record, and he'll just put on a show for you.
Well, he puts on a show even if you don't press record.
He does.
he's a walking show.
Right.
I always said if you mate together Joe Pesci, right, and Danny DeVito, you get Felix.
You get Felix. That's right.
They're both funny.
It's his Instagram page. That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, so going back to the easy stuff, there's a lot of easy stuff that we do, right. Common stuff. But my forte is doing all the latest stuff out there. In fact, we have companies that come to my office once a week, and I talk about this on a show. They present something to me, and if it looks like bullshit, I politely ask them or tell them that I'm not interested.
Right.
I don't throw them out or anything. I politely tell them I'm not interested. Right. But if they keep insisting, then I throw them out.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't happen. Most of the stuff have pretty decent idea in theory.
Yeah.
But if to me, and I've been doing this a long time, it looks like it's not going to work. Chances are it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Okay, how much are you paying? And we've over the years, especially this endoscopic surgery, I've been doing it pushing 20 years now. It's been 50, more than 50 years it's been working. Of course, you know, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they had rudimentary scopes. It wasn't as good. And the instrumentation today is much more advanced and getting better. I got some ideas of instrumentation I gotta put out there called, you know, Jasper graspers and stuff like that.
That is awesome. Yeah.
But anyway, the so that's it. Endoscopic surgery is my forte. Then we do the spacers for spinal stenosis,
Yeah. Where
we open up the central canal. Phenomenal.
Were you serious about that?
What?
Were you serious about that?
Well, there was a Jasper grasper.
Was there?
Yeah.
Huh.
But anyway, the intraspinal spacers, now I'm using Spinal Simplicity, Minuteman, which works beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, they go in quickly, you know, depending on how good you are and how accurate you are and how many in your experience, it goes in quicker. But, you know, it could take a very long time if you're not that good or in the beginning. So it's relative. And you don't need general anesthesia. You need some form of anesthesia, kind of like a colonoscopy type, you know, local with sedation. And, you know, just during the tough parts, they kind of knock you out, but not general. And you go home the same day. And we usually, it's painful for about 2 or 3 days, but patients get off the table walking beautifully. I got videos on that, which we got to put on the website.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, great videos and testimonials.
We got a whole bunch of testimonials. I'm going to freckle in a couple of others coming up. And one, we had this great couple talking about, you know, their pain journey with Dr. Jasper. And, you know, and he sees you on TV. I got to go see this guy. You know, that's pretty awesome.
So that's one. And another one I use through the mild procedure, which is another minimally invasive spine surgery, where we go in here, actually take out the structure, which is the ligamenta flavum, that is creating or causing most of the central canal stenosis. And we actually go in there and we clip off some of that. And it's amazing that procedure has been around probably pushing 20 years, maybe 15. But that has proven to us that you don't need to take out a lot. You don't need to do big surgeries to make these patients feel more comfortable, sometimes eliminating their symptoms of spinal stenosis. But I do it mostly as a prerequisite when they have a really, really thick ligament, when I plan on doing an intraspinal spacer like Minuteman.
Mm.
It just makes it work that much better.
I'm a layman, so I'm hearing you talking about, and I hear you talk about this ligamentum flavum all the time. Like, is that like the root of all problems?
No, the root of all problems, and we went through this very, very,
well, it is
very in a lot of details on one of our podcasts. Remember I talked about the root of evil.
That's right.
The worst part is the degenerative disc disease, where the discs used to be like this, right? And yeah. Now they're like that. So when the discs were nice and plumped, real quick, look how big that hole is where the nerve comes out.
Yeah.
And look how small it is now.
Crushed.
Yeah. The hole is smaller. Yeah. So if you get a little bulging disc in there, this joint swells up, you're going to get sciatica pain.
Yeah.
Right? And then these joints back here are spondylosis, arthritis in this back, which we talk about the ablation. Those usually with the disc big, you got cartilage in between it. See where the air is? You got cartilage in between it, and it's a shock absorber, the posterior part of the spine. Right. But that, when the disc breaks down, now that's bone on bone, and you got swelling of that joint and painful joints. That's spondylosis. And not only that, when the disc starts to break down, you start to break down the annulus and the nucleus pulposa, which is in the middle, right?
Yeah.
The nucleus pulposa in the middle. And then look at the hole in the back. That hole in the back, look how big it is. And that hole in the back is protected with the ligamentum flavum.
Right.
Right? It's protected. When you get spinal stenosis, this collapses, and like a leather belt, it folds.
It
like,
folds up. Like a leather so belt. That's its job.
Like a leather belt, snap it. It's flat. When you push it together, it forms a loop.
Yeah.
So when you have good discs, that ligament, like a leather belt, is flat. When it collapses, it goes down, it folds and puts pressure on everything.
Right. So that's its job, to protect the
Well, it not only protects the spine.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you got bone here and bone here. If we were all solid bone, we'd be stiff, right?
Yeah.
So it gives you flexibility. You know, you can lean back, you lean forward, and twist.
Right.
So it gives you flexibility. Right.
Yeah. No, I get you.
That's you know, there's other reasons for it, but these are the basic reasons for it. But now it's leading me up to the latest procedure that we've been doing at the Jasper Spine Institute.
Ooh.
And that's ViaDisc. ViaDisc is one of the latest great developments of the evolution of getting rid of people's pain.
Really?
We've been talking about for years, and they degenerative disc disease, like I said, is the root of all evil. If you did not have degenerative disc disease, you will not have any problems with your back, as we just described.
Mm. Right?
And the biggest thing is trying to figure out, and they're getting there. They might even have it, but like they say about the cancer drug, you know, if they cure cancer, there'll be a lot of people out of business.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you cure degenerative disc disease, there'd be a lot of doctors and surgeons out of business.
Right, right.
So who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But they've discovered years ago, first time I heard about it was in a conference about 15, 18 years ago in Germany, either Germany or France, where they talked about, they isolated the genotype that people who genetically have degenerative disc disease are missing. In other words, you know, people have a lot of diseases like hemophilia. They're missing a genotype that produces the factors that you need to maintain the red blood cell. I mean, that's beyond the realm of my expertise, but I remember that stuff from medical school. But the same with degenerative disc disease. To maintain the disc, there's chemical reactions that go on to maintain protein and all that stuff that's missing to maintain it, you know, to be in simple terms.
Yeah.
It's missing. So what does happen? It degenerates faster. So they're thinking about ways of incorporating this into the person when they're younger, when they have a perfect disc, and they need a way to deliver it into the system to prevent this from happening.
Right.
That's the only problem they haven't discovered yet. You know, they were talking maybe injecting it directly into the disc, putting it into the bloodstream, you know, maybe taking a type of vitamin that will put, you know, it's not a vitamin, but taking something by mouth that will maintain your disc forever. And you never have degenerative disc disease. It's in the future.
Oh my God.
Most likely after I retire, because we'll all go out of business if they ever come up. Right. But it's not going to happen in our lifetime. And it's probably not going to happen if they find it today and they start giving it to the people that are 10 years old, let's say, right, to maintain their discs over a 50-year period. We will be long gone. But instead, they figured out other ways to helping people with nucleus pulposa, degenerative disc disease. So here's a nucleus. You find a nucleus, which is in the center of the disc, right?
Yeah.
This is, and then you have the annulus, which is around the disc, right? The annulus means ring, right? In probably Latin, means ring. Nucleus is the center of the ring.
I thought annulus was derived from like the word angel.
No.
No?
No. No. Annulus, like in Italian, is anello. Annulus. Oh. Anello means ring.
Oh, okay. Right?
So it's a Latin. It's from the Latin language.
Right, right.
Annulus. Anello. Well, that's the annulus. It's a ring. And it's tough. And it's a hell of a lot bigger than this in a person that is younger.
Right.
You know, it's probably 2-3 times the height. And then you got the nucleus, which breaks down. It all dries up as you get older. Like I said, some people faster than others.
Right.
But the nucleus is more of the shock absorber, right, that's maintained in between. So the annulus protects the nucleus. And you can see here there's a crack in the annulus, right? When you got a crack in the annulus, nucleus shoots out, causes a herniated disc. Now you know what a herniated disc is. This is a herniated disc, right? Now, if you have a contained disc that has not reached the fact that it cracked and you got an opening there, and a contained disc with a degenerative disc, with degenerative nucleus, there's a big facility down in Florida, I think it's in Miami, that actually they produce something very important. What they do is they take, if a person donates their body to science,
yeah,
they write it on their license and then automatically you go right and they process every part of your body,
right,
for somebody who needs it, right? The eyes, skin, the nucleus pulposa, discs. Well, anywhere from somebody from 15 to 55 years old that has a good nucleus pulposa, what they do is they retrieve it and they process it,
right,
as an allograft. What is an allograft? That's a graft coming from a human being, right? And they process it to the point where it's in a powdered form, right, and it doesn't have any antigens in it. In other words, you can inject this in somebody's body and the body will not react to it. It's just like cadaver bone.
Right.
You know, they use cadaver bone for a lot of different things, yeah, when they operate. This is similar to that, except it's nucleus. So what they've developed, and they have done tons of studies on this, that prove that it's statistically significant that it works. Patients get better. Huh. People who have degenerative disc disease, what we do now is we take this powdered form of autologous nucleus. It's nucleus. And we take a 22-gauge needle and we steer it into the center of a disc and we inject. We actually put the autologous nucleus in the middle and it regenerates. It rejuvenates the nucleus by calling upon its own fluid. You know, we reconstitute it with normal saline and you put it in there and it rejuvenates. It actually gives you a shock absorbing effect.
Huh.
Right. And it doesn't, from what I understand, it doesn't cause a regenerative effect like maybe stem cells. I wonder if they mix the stem cells in with that, that might even work better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the future.
That's the future.
And this is what we've been doing. And patients have been doing very, very well with this.
We've been doing this.
This is what we've been doing now for a while. You know, and it's new, and I wanted to bring it up here.
Oh, man.
So if you got degenerative disc disease, the root of all evil, this helps you, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you better. But there's a problem.
What?
The problem is that the major medical insurance companies don't pay for it yet. Medicare pays for it. So you got to be of Medicare age or a Medicare insurance. You know, somebody could be disabled because they got this disease and be 40 years old. They would be a candidate for it because Medicare pays for it. And that's usually the process from what I see over the years. that Medicare first starts paying for it, and then the major medicals do, like Blue Cross Blue Shield and United Healthcare. Those insurance, and they're getting worse and worse as far as paying for things. It used to be they paid for it first, so that Medicare paid for it, but it's going in the opposite direction now.
Yeah.
But this is a great procedure. If you've been diagnosed with degenerative disc disease, this is the way to go.
Right. It's blowing my mind.
And it doesn't take long to do. Most of the people I do are awake patients. It's only a 22 gauge needle.
Right.
And it works. It works well. And it's relatively minimum discomfort. And you go home the same day with no problems. Sometimes by expanding the disc, which raises the bones and maybe stretches the ligaments in the spine itself, can cause you to have a little bit of discomfort for a couple of days. We give you some pain medications to go home with, but who needs it? That's a good question. Who would need it? Number one, you have to have degenerative disc disease, but there's a lot of people out there with degenerative disc disease, like myself, who does not have back pain. You got to have back pain. And we put you through some maneuvers that will point toward discogenic pain. And discogenic pain is more the pain that when you bend over to lift something, it hurts. Sit down, if you sit down too long, it hurts your back. Different maneuvers that you do. You lay down flat and you raise your legs up like you're doing leg raises, and you let them down slowly. Usually somebody raises your legs for you. You let them go slowly. That's what caused the discogenic pain.
Yeah.
And it gets rid of it. So if anybody has that, anybody has degenerative disc disease with back pain, come to my office and we'll diagnose it for you and we'll treat it. If you have five degenerative disc disease or four degenerative discs, we could fix all of them. We can't do it all in one shot. The insurance companies only pay for one level at a time because not every disc would be painful.
Right.
So you do the discs that are painful. So that's the latest and the greatest at the Jasper Spine Institute.
Yeah, I'm blown away. I'm blown away by this. And I think I might be eligible for that because all those things that you just mentioned cause me pain.
You Medicare?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We should probably do that before we do the, because you might still feel good with the radio frequency. How long has it been from the ablation?
It's been 2 years, three, maybe. Yeah. I mean, the last one just did the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could do it. And any back pain that you have left over, we'll do the Viadisc.
Yeah.
Very simple. No big deal. It's not a big deal.
That just blew my mind. But I mean, imagine now then people who are now on pills, maybe it's in the water supply, like fluoride, all right? And they have discs that do not degrade, and they're bouncing around. You got to wonder what kind of, how are we going to age when you're 78 and your back still feels like it's 18.
Well, that's true.
You
end up dying of something else.
Yeah.
That's
like mind blowing, doc. Like,
well, I mean, this is probably not going to do it. It'll make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
But what will do that would be when they find out what gene, what protein, you need to prevent degenerative disc disease. Of course, some people like myself have degenerative disc disease, not genetically, but because I beat the hell out of myself throughout my life. It's not going to stop that. Everybody's going to have a certain amount of degenerative disc disease because they beat themselves to death. But if you do nothing, and I've seen people that are 80 years old have almost perfect discs. Why? Genetically, they're good. And they sat around, did not much.
Yeah.
Walked a little bit. They weren't doing off-road motorcycle racing like me. They weren't snowboarding. They weren't racing offshore boats.
Yeah.
All these crazy stuff.
I was a stunt guy. I'd get shot in fall off a building, you know, and I treated my back like it was just.
Like Jerry Lewis. Remember Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis. That was it. I could do those little pratfalls and stuff and everything. Jerry Lewis was one of my heroes.
I mean, Jerry Lewis wasn't a stunt guy, but did you see some of the falls and
stuff? Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was funny as hell. Cool, but.
You got to learn how to fall.
He suffered. No, well, he still suffered.
Yeah, you still suffer. He could have
genetic problems, but he had multiple spine surgeries. He was in chronic pain all his life.
If I could get the group I was with or an audience to laugh, I would hurt myself in the process to make it happen.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so we got Christopher Cullen here, and
hey, Chris, how you doing?
He says, "I would have spent the last 2 years in bed if it wasn't for Dr. Gabriel Jasper. God bless you, and I cannot put into words my appreciation for all your knowledge and expertise. You are the absolute best doctor in all of the tri-state area and beyond."
Well, thank you, Chris.
Damn.
Christopher, thank you very much.
You can't pay for a testimonial like that.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Chris. So I guess he feels good now.
Yeah, he must, man. Good for you, Chris.
Get together one of these days, Chris.
Yeah.
All righty. Hopefully not in my office.
But that's good.
You know, Jeremy, there's something going on with this computer system in this office. I mean, this studio.
Yeah,
we used to get a lot of phone calls when we did the radio show. Why can't we get any phone
calls? Yeah, I know. When
Chris and Felix the only one listening to us today?
No. We got a bunch of people listening to us today.
You could tell.
Yeah, we got some on Facebook and. Live, at least a couple of people in.
You know, I hate to bring up politics.
YouTube, do you hate to? Yeah,
but if Biden wins again, I give up. I really, truly give up. I don't know what I'm going to give up.
Right,
I'll just like never talk about it, never think about it. Just say it is what it is, man. America's it just getting dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
You know, it's a community today. We feel sorry for the people who have problems. You know, he has dementia. So let's vote him back into, we feel bad for him. Let's vote him back into the presidency.
Right.
What are they thinking? I don't understand. All right. That's enough. I'm not getting into that, but everybody knows I'm a Trump fan or a Republican fan, and right. We got no choice.
Yeah.
Really have no choice at this point. He is the best candidate, been the best candidate, no matter how you look at it.
The thing about Trump, like everything they throw at him, this guy keeps on coming out shining bright. I mean, like in the stuff that any one of the things that they've thrown at this guy would crush any other person, you know, he comes out shining. That says something, man. Yeah,
because most of it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
That they come up with. Anyway. Oh, you know, but one thing we should talk about, which most people don't understand about how he got indicted and not convicted, but he lost the lawsuit against him from the Attorney General of New York, the fact that he committed fraud when he borrowed money. And made it look like his buildings were inflated as far as value. And you see some of these people coming online now talking about this, the entrepreneurs, the rich people, the people that build buildings in New York.
That verdict virtually
put a kibosh on any new buildings going up in New York. Who would want to build a new building in New York? I mean, it's like saying, you know, all right, I'm going to sell a house.
Right.
I'm going to sell a house.
Yeah.
So what do? You get an appraiser to sell a house, and you say to him, say, listen, do me a favor. All right, let's say the house is worth $1 million. Can you inflate it a little bit so I can borrow more money?
Right.
Right, and then buy a nicer house? Right. Now, this is basically what happened. So that's what Trump did. He hired somebody, allegedly hired somebody to evaluate, an appraiser evaluate his buildings. You know, they didn't prove that he paid him off to increase the value, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
Because they need more money. They want to get the maximum amount of value out of that building so you can borrow money to build another building to get to make the place better.
Right.
To have jobs for people out there in New York.
Yeah.
You know, make the economy better, right?
Right.
Well, then what's the process after that? Now he goes to the bank. Said, listen, I got the building here. My appraiser said it's worth $600 million.
Right.
And what are they going to lend them? They usually lend half, like $300 million. Right. But the bank does its due diligence. Now, here's what I'm talking about.
Right.
The bank does its due diligence. The bank will not lend you money, more money than the value of the property. Right. So the bank does its due diligence. Say, hey, listen, it's not worth $600 million. You know, it's only worth $400 million. So we're only going to give you $200 million as a loan. And that's what he did. And that's what they all do. There's nothing illegal about it. But because you got anti-Trump people in New York, I don't know where this judge was coming from, because if he was smart, he would have thrown it out of court.
Right.
Because
right.
That deters anybody else from wanting to build a building in New York or any kind. New York is going under because of this. And a lot of other reasons.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's what I wanted to say. So it's normal what he did, basically.
Yeah. Felix says, you get what you vote for.
You get what you vote for. Yeah.
That's it.
All right. So, you know, hopefully everybody I talk to that should change from Medicare disadvantage program to a true traditional Medicare program with a secondary has done that. Because I have all these procedures. Remember I said the traditional insurances, Major Medical, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, United Healthcare, whatever the other ones they are, they don't pay for a lot of these new things. But Medicare pays. So if you have a Medicare Advantage program, you're no longer under Medicare. You are under whatever that Major Medical is, like Aetna Medicare.
Right.
And they call the shots. You don't call the shots. Patient doesn't call the shots. The doctor doesn't call the shots. The insurance company say, we don't pay for it, period. No explanations. They might throw in like, well, it hasn't been proven. What do you mean it hasn't been proven? There's tons of studies on it. You know, read the studies.
Yeah.
You know, so get out of that stuff. Get out of that Medicare. And you got till March 31st.
Is that the deadline?
Open enrollments, March 31st. Get Medicare traditional red, white, and blue with a secondary.
Yeah, now's the time to make the change.
And you think you're not paying for the Medicare disadvantage programs, but you're paying for it. It's coming out of your Social Security check.
Right.
Right. And when anything they tell you is for nothing, bullshit.
Right.
It's not for nothing. You get nothing for nothing in this world.
You get nothing.
You ever hear that expression? If it's too good to be true, it ain't true.
It ain't true.
Any other ones like that?
Yeah, if
you're about two cans short of a six pack. Oh, that's something else.
If it looks like shit, it smells like shit.
It is shit.
It is shit.
Yeah, we put a little bit. Anything else we want to talk about here today?
My mind
is Barbara blown. Coming in today?
No, she's not. No, she's
we got a little extra time. We start a little later.
I mean that whole thing you said earlier, it blew my mind. I can't even imagine, like, the innovations they're making now.
Well, it's too late for you, baby.
It's too late for me, but it's so, like, it's mind-blowing as to, like, where it's all going to be going, you know? This is where the, you know, the river's flowing, and it's fascinating.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, so I think it was a good show today.
Yeah.
We talked about some new stuff.
Oh, we got Teresa here. Wait, let me see.
We got to put it on the website.
Teresa, she says, sadly, people don't realize how bad their insurance is until they need it. You give good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome, Teresa. Miss you. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Let's get together.
She a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So remember... The Jasper Spine Institute.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're there to help you, and we're going to help you.
Yeah.
We're honest. We do the most popular leading edge. Well, not most popular. It's not. That's a bad word.
Most effective.
The most advanced.
Advanced.
The most advanced procedures of minimally invasive spine fixes.
Yeah.
You know, to fix your spine. Most of the stuff, well, most of all the stuff that I do will not hurt you, providing there's no complication.
Right.
You got to remember, anything you do could always be a complication. That's why you sign a consent. Read the consent forms. No matter who does your surgery or procedures on you, please read your consent form, because it'll bite you in the butt if you don't.
Connie says she's going to be coming in, so you'll see her shoulder. She says, have a nice weekend.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
See you later, Connie. Remind me when you get in there. We talked on the online here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, good. So thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us at the Josh Jasper Spine Institute at 732-262-0700.
That's right.
And you can get us on Dr. Jasper?
It's jaspermd.com for more information about Dr. Jasper and all the truly amazing things he does. You go to jaspermd.com. This week we are launching our new website, our updated website. So, log on and check it out.
Yeah, we're going to get all that new stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Testimonials. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.